Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller, and his name's Jim Campbell.
Hello.
His name's Luke Moore.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson makes the foursome.
Kabaddi!
Welcome, everybody. Come on in to the Kabaddi Ramble. Lovely Kabaddi. Mention of that sport. Since Transworld Sport was taken off our televisions, it may still be on, actually.
Can I jump in there? Because I've got info.
Peter Brackley was always on the commentary team, wasn't he?
Transworld Sport on a Saturday morning, we used to get our Kabaddi highlights from India.
Yeah. Well, it's now on fairly regularly on Sky Sports.
Is that right?
Proper graphics, really high budget and everything. Nice. It's almost played on like a volleyball court.
That's
now.
Right.
But you know, it used to be played on outside, didn't it? On sand, like, yeah. Almost like a beach volleyball court.
Oh, so when you said volleyball, I thought you meant beach volleyball.
No, now it's played like an indoor volleyball court, and it's actually quite good. It's quite interesting.
Channel 4 used to have a proper programme about it. It wasn't just Transworld Sport.
Am I right in thinking that they replaced Football Italia with it?
It was certainly around about that time.
It was before the Italian football highlights on a Saturday.
I think Marcus is right. I think I'm going to say that Kabaddi on a Sunday on Channel 4 was Sunday morning fare, and I think Football Italia would go late morning through to the afternoon because they would show a game, I think, after lunch.
How would you describe Kabaddi to people who are unaware? I mean, it's kind of like American football but without the ball.
You have to go into the opposite territory holding your breath while saying Kabaddi to prove that you're holding your breath. Tag someone and get back into your own area without getting caught.
Monotonous.
That's as much as I know.
I told you it was the Kabaddi Ramble.
It's much more interesting than watching, for example, West Brom Stoke.
Yeah, Kabaddi, what a great game it was. And we also like football. So let's talk about
audio reminder. For people who are listening going, what is happening here? I recognise the voices. I recognise none of the content.
This is now the Kabaddi Ramble, guys. We've been bought out by the Indian money.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we get the budget, the Kabaddi Ramble's coming. And some field trips will be necessary. West Ham are playing...
lovely stuff at the moment.
The Champions League, Leicester City.
Yeah.
Quarterfinal lineup.
Apart from Jamie Vardy.
Yeah. Very good, Jim. It's worth reminding ourselves that the quarterfinal lineup, obviously, this is before Friday when I think the draw's being made. Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juventus, Borussia Dortmund. I mean, they've all won the competition. Bayern Munich have as well. Monaco have been close. Atletico Madrid have been very close. And lovable Leicester.
That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
We thought that they were done with the fairy tale stuff.
Yeah, I know. Buffon has come out and said, hasn't he? Like, we don't want Leicester. Because they're an unknown quantity.
That's just not true.
I know. Peter and I were saying this yesterday on Forza Ramble. It's a lie,
isn't it? It's
an
outright lie.
There's no way that they cannot get hold of the footage of what Leicester are like. I mean, it's not like this group of saboteurs no one's ever seen.
Yeah, put away your chances against them and you should be fine.
If this quarterfinal that was a house party, there are 7 invitees all thinking, has that guy over there in the corner with a bottle of Buckfast?
Yeah.
Has he got an invite?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would very much like to see it.
Did he come in through the cat flap?
Yeah. If you look at those clubs, they're all pretty much Champions League royalty. Monaco, maybe, but they did reach a final, I think, 2004. That was a little while ago now. But you would imagine they're the guys in the chinos. They're the guys with the old money. Yeah. And in walks the guy with the knackered Converse with the new money. Leicester City.
It's amazing.
It is absolutely phenomenal. And I mean, Craig Shakespeare's woken up last year as Premier League champions, isn't he?
Yeah, they played. I saw the game against Sevilla and they played with you know, a huge amount of intensity. It looked to me that all Craig Shakespeare did was just put Ndidi, who should really be called Yes Ndidi, in N'Golo Kante's place and just get on with it.
Absolutely. Mm. He just recreated the team of last season as much as possible, made it simple. And, you know, that crowd, they are incredible.
The atmosphere was great, wasn't it?
Especially, you know, in night games. And, I mean,
it was the flags. Yeah,
it was the flags that won. I mean, I hope they get the first leg at home with whoever they get, just because that will give them a huge huge advantage. But Craig Shakespeare doing all this stuff. Again, we've got to wonder, where is he in line for the England job? Because surely that name bumps him right up.
Is he above? Right. Is he above the Cowley brothers?
I would say so. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, he's managed about, what, four games?
Yeah. Three, maybe. Three,
but it's like him being called Craig Churchill. Do you know what I mean? It just works.
So, you mean, you can
Paul HP.
You can see them factoring it into their thinking next time they've got to make a decision.
I've seen that name on the back of a tenner, I think it was, once upon a time. He must be worth it.
Has someone given Jamie Vardy, he's like Nando's black card back?
He was good for a bit of nuisance, wasn't
he's
he?
A man
is he back off the vodka skittles or is he back on the vodka skittles? I'm not sure.
It's hard to say, isn't it?
I kind of felt sorry for Nasri because
he
should not be being pulled in by a literal imbecile.
He shouldn't. It's his own fault, though.
It's not rule number one of being a football fan, but it's in the top 10. Do never feel sorry for Sami Nasri.
He just got so brilliantly wound up. He took so long to leave the pitch.
I think he might get a fine for that. Yeah. He certainly should do, in my
absolutely
opinion.
Absolutely. He's really not helped his team, has he?
No.
There's
nothing he can do after he's been sent off.
Absolutely. So all he's doing is just adding time onto the clock.
Yeah. He said Vardy should play like a man, and then he waited for him in the tunnel, reportedly, after the game.
Yeah, but didn't like say anything to him.
Yeah, right.
And hit him with a bottle of Lucozade from behind.
He's sitting on all fours behind him, going, "Can someone push him?"
Like the kid who got sent home from school from sort of throwing a desk over. Yeah. And said, "Right, I'm waiting for the teacher outside." Never did that.
Never did that. Act like a man. Play like a man on the field, but act like a silly schoolboy.
A mouse.
We'll go for a mouse.
Footballing mouse. I can imagine if you did throw a bottle at Jamie Vardy, it would just bounce off of him.
Well, you can imagine Sami Nasri being annoyed and severe overall, and George Sampaoli, who just gets annoyed generally, being really wound up because a lot's been made of the fact that Burnley haven't won an away game in the Premier League this season, nor have Leicester. So they're going, hang on a minute, this team, they might get relegated, they've sacked their manager, and they've not won a game away all season in the league, and how are they doing so well against them?
And Sevilla,
where's Sami going?
Yeah.
What's happening?
But it is true, isn't it? Sevilla have been brilliant this season. They've had one of their best seasons for a while.
Mm. Well, they won the Europa League for the last three seasons in a row. They've got some genuine European pedigree.
Yeah, but when you meet your match, Jim, you know it.
Don't give a penalty to the Zons. Do not give a penalty. No. I mean, I don't know what it is about the year 2017 and every professional footballer, but no one can take a penalty. Mm. That was one of the worst penalties I've seen this season.
I think skills and proficiency are overrated. It's all about narrative now.
Is that right?
There's just inevitability in every single football match.
Yeah,
whatever you think is probably going to happen, it will happen.
Maybe they can only show skill and ability and desire and achieve what they are scheduled to achieve just within the narrow parameters of the subtext of football now. Mm. Because it's so conceited and so all about the narrative. Nothing can happen.
Our penalties getting harder to score, Luke?
They certainly seem to be. I wouldn't be surprised if Leicester win the Champions League now.
I mean, I know what you mean. It does feel like it. There was a point last season when Leicester were, just careering towards the title where we all sort of woke up and thought, they could do this. This could actually become a reality, like, you know, beyond the sort of mad dream thing we were all hoping, that you sensed that it was a real possibility. And it sort of feels a little bit like that now. I mean, they're going to be second favourites against whoever they draw. They're probably looking at Dortmund as the kindest draw, which is, that's a nightmare, really, isn't it? If that's the
best. Who would you fancy for them to get, if you could choose?
I would choose Dortmund.
Would you?
Yeah.
Given the best chance.
I think I would choose Monaco.
I was thinking Monaco, because Monaco like to attack and Leicester like to. If they played Atletico Madrid, that would be, you'd probably finish 1-0 to Atleti over the two legs or something.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I think they'd be too canny for them. But then, you know, we thought that about Sevilla.
Yeah, but do you know what?
And they're whipping balls in high. It's like Morgan and Huth just dealing with that, as they did last season. I think Morgan won't play another match in the Champions League after that celebration.
What a goal,
that's naughty.
What a finish.
To put in perspective how little chance I thought Leicester had, you know, friend of the Ramble, James Kate, he sent me a message saying, I think Leicester will beat Sevilla at home. And I sent back, I think, 40 laughing emoji.
You count every last one. Count them in, count them out.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'd fancy Leicester to get Real Madrid because...
You literally can't know.
No, I want them.
Oh, you want them to? Okay.
He said Arsenal would get Bayern, and that happened.
Yeah. I would like Leicester to get Real Madrid because they'd win. Beat Zidane's Madrid.
I'd like to see Leicester beat Bayern 10-2.
I can't see Leicester beating Real Madrid just based on Pete's narrative, because I don't think the world is ready for the Cristiano Ronaldo tantrum.
Oh, imagine
the tantrum!
Oh,
the tantrum would be like worlds destroying.
It would be super.
He would suck the whole world into a black
hole. And Jamie Vardy would just be stood next to him, laughing at him, openly laughing at him.
Chat shit, get banged, mate.
Yeah, that's true. Get knocked out.
Anyway, they're playing West Ham at the weekend.
They are playing West Ham at the weekend. Do we want to talk about that?
I really want to talk about that thing Mark Noble said this week, which is, to me, is one of the quotes of the season.
Yeah. Well, before we. Oh no. Okay, we'll go into Mark Noble. Yeah, West Ham stalwart. Mark
Club
Noble.
Captain.
Yeah.
When he was asked about, I don't know if people haven't seen this, when he was asked if it affected the criticism he was getting from West Ham fans, he said, "If I'm really honest, a lot of people who now go to football don't really understand the game."
That's the crowd at the London Stadium for you, yeah. Mr. Noble.
I love it.
Yeah,
let's hear on fans. It's worse than Karanka.
Because he's had a few decent performances recently, but he's been a bit inconsistent. I mean, he played well against Palace and against Southampton, had a good win. But according to people who watch West Ham a lot more than I do, he's been a bit up and down, shall we say. Doesn't care. No, I'm not taking an iota of responsibility for this, even though I'm club captain. I'm going to blame all the fans.
They've got a strange situation there where they're playing Kiate at right back, because evidently they don't trust the right backs they do have. And you'd think he's an ideal option if one of your players isn't, you know, maybe doing the business in the middle of the park.
Imagine Slaven Bilic sitting you down and saying, "I just don't trust you."
It would be a great show. Bilic had an interesting quote himself about Leicester's sacking of Ranieri. He said, "No one can say it was the wrong decision. The three results have been brilliant. Still, for me, it was a bad decision."
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, well...
You're all over the place, eh?
Basically, you're sad to see Ranieri go, but it's sort of been vindicated, the fact that they're in the quarterfinals. Yeah. They've had a couple of important wins. But West Ham themselves, the co-owner, David Sullivan, said he was very frustrated and disappointed after the loss against Bournemouth, and Bilic just played it down in the press conference, because they said, Sullivan said this, and Bilic was just like, "Yeah, it was just heat at the moment stuff, don't worry about it."
He talks a lot of rubbish.
Yeah, we're not worried about Slaven, but we're worried for you.
Yeah.
Because that's...
literally your boss.
Their form is relatively patchy at the moment, isn't it? But Bilic has done a really good job to sort of get them. I mean, they're in 11th now, and they were looking like they would be in a relegation battle, and he's done well to sort of re-establish that. And every team has teething problems when they migrate to a new stadium, and he's actually done well to settle that. And a friend of mine supports West Ham, and he was telling me that he's a season ticket holder as well. He was saying that...
Does he know nothing about football as well?
he appears to, but what was
he
I
rate
know?
Mark Noble?
So he was saying that since Payet left, the atmosphere in the stadium has actually improved quite a lot.
I'm living on fire. I'm loving this. These nothing irons.
Oh. It's saying that people are a little bit more behind Bilic because they sort of felt from a bit, and it's genuinely that the atmosphere has improved there of late. Maybe it's coincidence. Maybe it's something
else. You can't poison an entire stadium and the dressing room.
Payet just thought that's a massive compliment.
Did you see what Payet said recently? He effectively said, "Oh yeah, I mean West Ham. They're just middling around towards the bottom of the Premier League, and I just can't really be bothered with that."
It was about as blasé as that.
Didn't he say it was boring?
Yeah. I think he did. Yeah, I've got no appetite for it. Something like that.
We want footballers to be honest, don't we?
Yeah, true.
The draw here between these two teams is 23-10 with Bet365. So £10 returns £33, including stake.
Let's move on to Stoke versus Chelsea. If we're all done with that,
can I make a comparison in these games?
Yes,
Andy
you may.
Carroll, if he starts, will be, or whether he starts or not, he's one goal away from 50 goals in the Premier League. And so is Diego Costa. Just amazing if you look at the timescale there.
Yeah, but of course...
I mean, Jim, the problem with that is Diego Costa's like a much better player.
Yeah.
He's like much better.
In a way, I think that may be that's what the point illustrates.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
But
it's a stat for you, Pete.
Pretty concise nature.
So hang on, so they're both one goal off 50. Mm. Well, Crouch recently got 100.
There you go.
Twice the player of both of them. Twice the height, mate.
Diego half Crouch.
Speaking of players... Speaking of players chipping off, Wilfred Bonny's been chipping off.
Hasn't he? Well, he's got nothing else to do.
I don't know what it is about this season, but you can't move for players mouthing off.
Love it. I think maybe since the Premier League has had its new TV deal, they're just trying to attract ratings with as many shock moments as possible. They've been briefed
that the ratings are down, so they need to start getting, as Pete says, narratives.
It could become like the WWE, couldn't it? With the little chats before the
sort of already has become that.
Well, yeah. But maybe
Coin promos,
yeah, all that.
Yeah,
I'm up for it. I think Stoke, they've got a reason to be confident here. They've three clean sheets in their last four. They're ninth in the league, and Chelsea, they played Manchester United. It was a tough game in the FA Cup. They only won 1-0 as well. I mean, could we see Stoke upset the Chelsea cart?
Well, Wilfred Bonny is basically kicking off because he's not getting the team. And the reason he's not getting the team is because Stoke are doing okay, yeah, fairly well. And Bonnie went away to the African Cup of Nations and he's come back and said, look, I don't know why I'm here. I'm never getting picked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, well, fine, you haven't been picked since the African Cup of Nations, but you were picked pretty much every game before the African Cup of Nations and scored in one game.
Yeah.
Two goals against Swansea, the only Premier League goals he's got this season. So I don't really see how you can have any reasonable sort of complaint.
Well, yeah, someone's taken their chance to replace him and it's worked out. Yeah, him sort of putting forward this idea that it makes no sense is, well, it's just self-serving, isn't it?
And what did you guys make of the Chelsea fans booing Mourinho and calling him Judas and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
Did you see Conte and Conte went mental at Mourinho at one point.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, he's got under his skin, hasn't he, really badly. And it's a bit of a daft sideshow for Mourinho. I know obviously he's got his right to reply if those fans are booing him, but as a Man United fan, you would think, come on, concentrate on us, you know?
I just think it's very strange. It's not like he went to another London club. Are Chelsea and Manchester United the biggest rivals? I can't figure it out why they were calling him Judas.
It's
almost as if the Chelsea fans are dickheads.
He didn't say they were, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to say that, actually, so I'm pleased you did. Because the point I was going to make was it's funny how the season that it all went a bit wrong for Mourinho, the fans were calling out Hazard and Costa for being snakes and all sorts of letting Rio down. And now Mourinho's gone.
And Mourinho was sacked.
Yeah, well, quite, exactly. Yeah. And now it's Mourinho's fault. It doesn't, I mean, you can't. And I guess the other thing is, you're talking about Chelsea fans being dicks, and I'm probably going to incur a bit of a wrath of a few of them by saying this. But I think that it's because Chelsea fans want to be a part of something. They haven't really got a decent rival, have they, Chelsea?
No.
They would say that Spurs is their biggest rival, whereas I guess Spurs fans have got, you know, West Ham, Arsenal and Chelsea, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But probably chiefly Arsenal. Chelsea don't really have, I mean, who's Chelsea? There's not really
It's because like 20 years ago, they were there or thereabouts, weren't they? They didn't really have a big kind of... There weren't big stories coming out of that kind of rivalry between them and Arsenal, them and Spurs. And,
well, they had Liverpool for a bit with the Champions League semi-finals.
But that was completely manufactured modern football rivalry. Like, in the late 80s, essentially, no one used to go and watch Chelsea. That's the fact. That's the fact of the matter. I mean, Chelsea, and I don't take any pleasure in saying it, I'm not being snobby about it, I support a fairly small team, so there's no skin off my nose, but the late 80s, no one went to watch Chelsea. So all the sort of rivalries they've got now, the Liverpool one you mentioned, the Spurs one that's come along, I mean, really, they're quite modern manufactured football rivalries because Chelsea are quite a modern manufactured club, and that comes with it. So I suppose for them to put some sort of rivalry with Mourinho and stuff, it shows that they've Mourinho is their most popular manager, their most successful manager. So now he's someone they can turn on because I don't really have anyone else in the past to turn on. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
I could probably put that in a more concise way, but I'm sure you understand what I'm saying.
I'm sure not all Chelsea fans, we should say, are like that.
No, I'm saying all Chelsea fans. Every last one of them. Every atom of every Chelsea fan.
Suggs in particular.
Yeah. He's the worst one.
First time in madness.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Sorry, I'm on that. I'm on board with that one.
All likes are welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Dad joke.
Facebook page. Man United, what is the matter with them coming in and out of London?
Oh, it's so funny. They didn't get home until 4 o'clock in the morning because there was some problem with their plane. What is wrong with whoever books their travel arrangement?
Well, the plane, they were told, when they were just about to leave the ground, was going to be delayed getting there. Who was using it? I don't know. And and then they said, all right, we'll take the coach. And then apparently there was a load of roadworks on the way home. Right. It took them a while to get back.
Love it.
It's like a couple of fines for getting late for getting the coach late to grounds already.
That's right, yeah. Incredible stuff. According to some papers, Chelsea considering a 100... I didn't say 1 million, Dr. Evil. A 100 million swoop
for Bartley. That's Arsene Wenger. Yeah. Okay.
That's in instalments as well.
Yeah, for Barkley and Lukaku. But there's reports today that Lukaku's agent, Mina Raiola, was spotted leaving a hotel just before United's executive vice chairman, Ed Woodward.
Mm. Well, Lukaku's out of contract next summer, isn't he?
And he has refused to sign one.
He's 23 there was quite an interesting interview with him in The Times, I think it was, today, where he was talking about all these different strikers that he admires and all this other stuff. And part of me thinks, well, you're only 23, you could probably do a couple more seasons at Everton, but he's clearly an ambitious guy.
Yeah. I think now's a good time for him to go. He's like Everton's all-time Premier League top scorer already, very quickly. He's more mature than his years, isn't he? Because he's been playing since he was 16, isn't he?
Well, not you, me. God, I never have my phone on loud.
Always going to be Peter. Always going to be Peter.
It's never going to be Peter because I never answer my phone. I've always got on quiet. Lord Ramble can attest to that.
Quiet and loud.
One of Pete's phones.
Or Pete just had a good idea.
Go on, Jim.
Yeah, so I think because he was playing for Anderlecht when he was like 16 years old,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Right,
he's like
Sorry, Jim. Oh. Sorry. Sorry, mate.
Are you resetting yourself again?
Sorry, Jim. Sorry.
Come on. Jim's in mid-flow, brother.
Yeah. So he's basically wise beyond his years and sort of talented beyond his years. So I think, you know, I think it is a good time for him to go. Where do you think he'll go, though? Because he seems to really have a soft spot for Chelsea, doesn't he?
Well, it's going to cost Chelsea. I mean, it's weird because it's like the Man United Pogba situation. Mm. They're going to have to pay through those to get him back.
But if Diego Costa's still there, would they really... Would they go well, from would
the problem with Diego Costa is the problem that's been the case for a while now. He's volatile. He's prone to sort of mad changes of mind. Mm. What he wants to do.
Mm. He's a dickhead as well.
Yeah. Well.
He represents the fans better than anyone on that field.
You are going to be having a busy week. This
I live
week.
Quite. I live quite close to Chelsea as well.
Yeah, you're off to Japan for a week or something.
See you later, losers. Yeah. Stuck on the runway with a Man United player. Oh no! Yeah. Crap.
And so, I mean, it's understandable for a manager like Conte thinking, well, Diego Costa's a good forward, he's proven goal scorer in the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. But he's not getting any younger, obviously. And is he a reliable character? Mm-hmm. You could probably argue he isn't, so you can understand why they want competition for places in there. Mm, yeah. And they don't really have a huge amount of other options. I mean, so it makes sense for them want to go back in for him. The Barkley was a little bit more
a little bit more left field, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But because I think, while I understand that top-level managers... probably rightly so, arrogantly think that they can get the best out of a player who's obviously got talent. Hence, you see managers queuing up to sign Balotelli many times. Mm. And I suppose they think that Barkley, who was showing signs of being slightly more consistent than he has in the past and maturing as he moves through his career.
At Chelsea, he was just getting Kante's way.
Yeah, it's hard to see him having almost like a consistent role to fill at Chelsea at this point, isn't it?
Kante, basically, you can't have anyone between Kante and the man furthest forward because he's running up and down so much.
I think if you're a young player, though, you would rather play for Kante than, say, Mourinho, for example, in a Chelsea shirt.
But the trouble is, managers move around so much. You sign for one manager and then he's gone and you might not adapt to the
But Pete, the point is that with Barkley is that he's a local lad and Everton, okay, they're probably not going to win the Champions League anytime soon.
But they're a decent side.
But they're a decent side. They could probably break... It's not unreasonable to suggest they could break into, say, the top five. And they've broken into the top four before, by the way. And it's reasonable, again, to suggest that they could build a team around Barkley. Mm-hmm. So he could be the main man there. But I guess it depends what his priorities are.
Well, Steven Gerrard said to him a few years ago, I think maybe on England duty together, that's how long ago it was, he said... It's fantastic playing for your local side, and actually just stay where you are for a bit at least. And,
that's not the problem Gerrard said.
So that's a man with no experience of anything different.
It's so funny with different personalities and stuff, because you know some players, look at Lukaku, I mean, he wants to move, he clearly is hugely driven, wants to become as most successful he can, and doesn't want to hang around. I mean, as you know, I chatted to Jamie Carragher, and he said it never crossed his mind once to leave Liverpool, he never wanted to. So.
But that is Liverpool, though.
Well, Everton is in Liverpool.
No, but you know what I mean, Liverpool's a bigger club than Everton.
All right.
That's
you having a busy week this week.
But where they are, though.
Why go for a beef burger when you got steak at home? Is that what you're trying to say, Luke?
Can I get back to you on that?
Luke, why buy the milk when you can get the cow for free? Is that what you're asking?
That's a horrible way of saying what I said.
How dare you? Right, that's it.
Anyway, Stoke are 5-1 with Bet365 for this one to beat Chelsea. An upset, I'm sure we all agree. £10 that will return £60, including steak.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Steak at home.
Yeah, not that kind of steak. Not that kind of steak.
I could go for a steak right now. Yeah,
£60 right. Including burger.
There it is. There it is. Right, we'll be back in just a min.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the preview show, everybody. It's time to talk about Sunderland versus Burnley. Moyes' men, they need to win this one.
I could make a reasonable argument to say that it is actually never time to talk about Sunderland versus Burnley.
Sunderland 6 points from safety and have a very poor goal difference. Peter?
Yes.
Are you worried? worried that they will be in the same division or not the same division as Newcastle next season?
Well, you managed to combine me asking me an opinion and a bit dig me out.
You've slagged off the same time.
Sort of in the form of a riddle.
Or the Holy Trinity of links. Riddle, dig, question.
You've been slagging off the Chelsea fans. You're on a roll. Yeah. I give to you Sunderland.
They know where they live. I think it's obscene that they're down there. I think the manager should have more faith in his players.
He still thinks they're going to stay up.
I think they'll stay up.
Yeah, you're trying not to jinx it, aren't you?
He's the most pessimistic man in the world. He obviously thinks the rival to his team are going to stay in the Premier.
Yeah, I'm a pleasure denier though, because I want the pleasure or the displeasure of losing 6 points in the derby next year.
Okay,
in the Premier League, you're on the big stage. See.
Ooh, you're thinking ahead. Thinking a bigger picture.
Yeah, I want misery on the horizon as well.
That's something you usually associate with Pete, thinking ahead. Apart from the Kate time when he tried to patent that infant shit bowl helmet. Mm. That's the only time he's tried to think ahead in his life. The only time in Pete's life he tried to think ahead, he tried to paint an infant shit bowl helmet.
Yeah. Well, that shows you why he doesn't do it.
Yeah, quite, exactly. He thought, well, I've had enough of that.
It got rejected out of hand in that they said, we need more information. I went, oh, get lost then. Yeah. Forget yours.
To be fair, Pete can say that he's tried thinking ahead. All right?
Yeah.
And then exactly. With his life.
But let me help you out here, Beat, because other than the inexplicable.
Just call me Beat.
Beat. Yeah.
Like Beat Takeshi, the most famous Japanese man ever.
Is he the director of
everything? Oh, he's done everything. I think he was. I think he's done everything. He's done everything.
You're sounding Beat, so I called you Beat. I know the inexplicable time that you guys remember this, but I can assure you it happened. And listeners at home, this definitely happened where Sunderland went to Crystal Palace and beat them 4-0.
Yeah.
Other than that, Sunderland have been. Absolute rat.
Abject.
I'll
make you right, Book. this is surely Burnley's best chance of getting that away win. They've got to be looking at it thinking, if we can't get this one.
Jim, what does Barkers think?
Yeah. Barkers the dog.
I think Bim's barking up the wrong tree.
they deserve to be relegated. Look, I'll put it out there. You're slagging off Chelsea fans. You're slagging off Everton fans.
Belsey.
I'll put it out there.
I wasn't slagging off Everton fans.
Let me.
Right. Bet me.
Talk about Blunderland.
They deserve to be relegated. Are you listening, Sunderland fans? Your team deserve to be relegated.
They deserve to be relegated every single year, but they manage to get out of it every single year.
And Pete, let me finish. They will be relegated.
Oh, big talk.
They will. It's not big talk, is it? They're terrible.
They're on 19 points or something.
Yeah. I mean, we've touched on this a few weeks ago, but you know, the run they're on makes an absolutely dismal reading. You wonder if and when they do go down, Moyes will keep his job, because it seems to be this sort of like accepted thing that the squad isn't good enough and it's not really his fault. But it must be.
Listen, if you don't believe me that Sunderland are going to be relegated, spend 10 seconds in the company of David Moyes and watch everything be sucked from you.
Where are they going to go on holiday? We've got a couple of weeks off now, haven't we? We've got an international break.
Here, he's thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Where are they going on holiday? David Moyes take the Sunderland squad.
They're already on holiday by the looks of it.
That's why Pete will never be an international footballer. I called up for the international squad. I've got a couple of weeks holiday now.
Have you kept in shape? No.
So, well, he tried taking them to a factory. He tried taking them to New York.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There's a huge spectrum between that.
Yeah. But there is a bit. If Pete was a footballer, right, he'd be England's top scorer. He'd be absolutely fantastic. England are 1 point away from qualification in February or something, whenever it is, or October.
Backpacking.
Next summer.
Backpacking.
He'd book the 4 weeks for the tournament backpacking.
Yeah, he would, yeah. I'm not changing it.
Oh, I didn't know.
I'm not changing it.
Yeah. I'll catch it on a TV somewhere.
I think to be semi-serious for a moment, mm-hmm. Sunderland absolutely have to win against Burnley.
They do.
To keep any sort of sign of life available to them. But even now, I still think they'll get relegated. If they lose this, they are 100% down.
If Sunderland haven't scored in 6 of their last 7 matches in all comps...
And that's part of it. That's a big part of it. we'll talk about Karanka in a minute, probably. Scoring is a big part of it.
It's true. Their remaining fixtures at home... Manchester United, West Ham United, Bournemouth and Swansea City. So there is a potential for a couple of points or something.
You contrast it who Borough have got. They've got a much easier run in.
They've got a combination of easy games and really hard games.
Next 4 matches, they should be, if they can take those 2 weeks off with the new manager, possibly, if the manager can get installed very quickly, I'm sure we'll move on. Am I moving the show on to talk about Karanka? I guess I am.
You're absolutely fine.
I think if they can get a new manager in nice and early, work with the squad for a couple of weeks and come back and make an attempt at getting out of the next 4 games, have you got them there, Luke? coming.
Well, Peter.
The next four Middlesbrough games, though, home to Manchester United.
All right, ignore that one. That's before the brick, isn't it?
Away to Chelsea. No, I'm only joking. Away to Bayern Munich. And then, no, they are at home to Manchester United this weekend. They are away to Swansea. And away to Hull. And I think they're both harder games than they look, because Hull and Swansea have both been pretty good at home. And then they're at home to Burnley. After that, they've got Arsenal, away to Bournemouth, they've got Manchester City, Chelsea, Southampton and Liverpool.
All right, well, I need to pick up those points.
Well, the good thing, the good news for Middlesbrough fans, but I'm sure it will only be hopeful news for a few moments, is they're reportedly thinking of approaching Gus Hiddink. Good luck with that.
That's a waste of time. That's like faxing in a loan like bid for Lionel Messi.
I've never seen Jim so annoyed. Yeah. I mean, that's a complete waste of time. Even I know that.
He's retired, isn't he?
Yeah.
Why would he come out of retirement to do that?
I'll tell you, we've approached Gus Hiddink. We have approached
Gary Megson,
Jose Mourinho, the ghost of Bella Gutman,
Cthulhu,
Franz Beckenbauer,
Shakespeare,
Steve Jobs,
William Shakespeare, that is
Steve Jobs.
Come on,
and the two guys together who invented Google.
Yeah, the Cowley brothers, yeah.
The Cowley brothers, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Get the Cowley brothers in.
The Isaac Aranka news is fantastic for one hugely important reason, that it happened before we recorded the Football Ramble show. Mm-hmm. First time this season.
We appreciate that.
And we've been in the show for quite a while now. I think even if we went back 5 or 6 years ago, and we just talked about David Moyes and Sunderland, and we can say the same thing with Crank here. 5 or 6 years ago, managers were not saying things that these two and other managers have said this season.
You're right.
David Moyes spent the whole of January essentially saying, all the players are rubbish. I'm not going to sign any players because the players I sign will also be rubbish, and we've got no hope. Ito Karankor.
He said that last when he took around summertime. Right. He was surprised about the lack of spending and so on and so forth.
Ito Karankor has slated the Middlesbrough fans, the chairman for not getting the players that he did get.
Yes.
He's in a massive, apparently last week, had a massive bust up with Stuart Downing. He's like the local lad.
Mm-hmm. He's such a curmudgeon. I love it. I'm going to miss
He did this last year in the championship.
He was. Oh, yeah, because he went
a few matches from the end. He skipped a match. He left for a match, didn't he?
Salt. Yeah.
Everyone needs a rest.
He also apparently said, and this has come out of a local source up in Middlesbrough, he said that, when they lost to Crystal Palace, Karanka said the reason they lost, he didn't know George Friend was injured.
Oh my goodness.
And unpack that. Do you know what I mean? Even if you did know, I mean, is that a reason to lose a game?
Yeah, would you build the side around him?
Yeah, crazy.
Do you not think, though, that you're right in saying what you said about managers? Do you think managers have just about bloody well had enough because they get moved on so much, they get sacked willy-nilly, and the managerial merry-go-round is as fast and spinny as it's been for, well, probably ever.
It looks like such a stressful job.
Yeah, so managers are like, I don't give a damn, I'm not going to be here for my... You lot up in the stands are rubbish. The chairman, he doesn't know what he's doing. It's all gone to pot. It would be amazing if I get us out of the situation. See you later,
and there is a serious, there's a kernel of truth in that, because again, to bring up Jamie Carragher, who I spoke to, and you guys have heard it, when I asked him why he isn't going to management, he essentially gave a long-winded version of saying, well, what's the point? What's in it for me?
Looks horrible.
Yeah, there's no, every redeeming feature of being a manager now is essentially, other than winning trophies, and he said, as a player, I won trophies, and I know how long the buzz lasted, and it wasn't that long. Other than that, there's nothing in it for me.
Yeah, I've made my mark on the game.
Yeah.
And anything else will just
ruin
that. Are
you talking as you or Jamie Carragher?
I've made my mark in the room.
I think you've made your mark on many, many things, Peter.
Do you think there's would that suggest, perhaps, would be another reason why English managers or British managers don't really... There's less of a pool of them, perhaps, because you do get good people who stay at youth level, perhaps, or as assistant managers.
It's not worth moving up, is it? Look how long Southgate was in the second job.
And now
he's he doesn't want this one.
And now he's on the throne. a friend of a friend, is a youth team boss at a very big Premier League club. And he said, my mate's a journalist was talking to him and said, would you not fancy being the manager? Surely that's the you're
pinnacle,
off to.
Yeah, the
and
pinnacle,
he, and
yeah.
he said, you'd be mad to take the manager's job. He said, my family, we can set up shop in a particular part of the country. We know that we're going to be here for a number of years, unless he does an absolutely terrible job and he's got previous that he is good at what he does. Mm. And he said, you don't have to deal with the press hounding you every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You can actually develop players.
I do.
You can invest in the game and what am I trying to say, you know, express your craft, if you like, and do it all without the constant batting away of reports and the constant threat of the sword of Damocles over.
Well, Marcus, the common error, I suppose it is an error that people make when they think about youth team managers and reserve team managers and all this other stuff and coaches, is that they think that they're just on one rung of the ladder up towards being a full-time top-level manager. Mm. And that isn't always the case. Yeah. I mean, there's people who are perfectly happy to be assistant managers or youth team managers or whatever. Because
some of the best footballs we've ever seen are in that position.
That's right. I mean,
like Peter Beardsley.
There you are.
He's been there for 20 years.
Exactly.
Was that just a setup so you could just say Peter Beardsley?
Mm. I'll say it again. Yeah. Peter Beardsley. Yeah.
Anything about Les Fernand?
Yeah.
Les Fernand? Well, he hasn't taken any managerial job, has he?
Really, what you want, if you're a budding young coach or something, get yourself an assistant job next to someone who knows what they're doing, i.e.,
Steve McLaren.
For a bit. Paul Clement.
The chap.
Ancelotti.
The chap who always used to follow Glenn Hoddle everywhere. John Gorman. Yeah. John Gorman used to always have it in his contract that if he took a job somewhere else, if Glenda picked up the phone, he could go. So maybe.
What about Carlos Queiroz?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
And Ferguson would let him go on.
I'll just go mad in Portugal for a bit. I'll be back in a few months.
He'd let him go on work placements at Real Madrid and stuff.
Yeah.
A job break.
Yeah, right.
It's a conman almost.
Yeah, right. That's what you're
but
after.
To take it back to Middlesbrough, I mean, they're obviously looking for a new manager. I think Steve Agnew. It's great to hear Steve Agnew. Ex-Sunderland winger, bald before his time. If you haven't seen Steve Agnew, you'll see him at the weekend, but look him up when he was a player because he looked about 50 when he was about 21.
He's not bald during his time, technically.
He was. He had the comb-over type business going on. Yeah. Anyway, if you think Middlesbrough are still going to be relegated from the Premier League, they're currently 4-11 with Bet365. For £10, that returns you £13.64, including your stake.
I'd like to someone talking to Jermaine Defoe at the moment about Sunderland. Oh, it's not happening up there. And he goes, yeah, but there is some good news. I've been picked for the England squad.
Finally.
Yeah. Back in there.
That's great, isn't it?
Isn't it just? I was a bit disappointed not to see Crouch's name. Because it just seemed
to have everything, mate.
Involved.
I'm sure you were disappointed to not see Sven's name on the show.
Danny Mills.
Do you know what? When I saw Defoe being called up for the England squad, I was 50-50, one sort of thinking, well, you know, he's done everything that could be asked of him.
Yeah. Mm.
He scored goals. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the list over the last three or four seasons of English strikers, then Defoe's...
He's up there.
Yeah. And at the moment, he's the highest scoring currently fit English striker. So on that side, good for him.
Yeah.
Pleased for him. The other 50%, that's depressing, isn't it? that is depressing.
Imagine getting a goal against Lithuania, though.
Yeah.
I
mean,
well, that's the thing.
But Jim, anyone could get a goal. but Marcus, my point, it's a flippant point about the bit that is a bit depressing, but the reason I'm saying that is because England are going to have no problem qualifying for the World Cup. The group they're in, they're top of it, they're not going to struggle to qualify, right? That's a fact. They're going to qualify for the World Cup. It's as close to a fact as you'll get in this sphere of football. For that reason, there's absolutely no point in calling up Jermaine Defoe. It's great for Jermaine Defoe, but it's pointless for England.
But who would you have instead?
Andy Carroll.
I would just play any young forward that's English, that's doing okay. Anyone.
Patrick Bamford.
Because not him. I see what you've done there. and well done for it.
Jim's got a bloody long list, by the way.
I truly deserve that. But you know the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
There's no
future in it.
No, there's literally nothing in it for England.
But then you sort of go, well, what is the point of playing football matches if you only ever play for the future?
What's the point of playing any football matches?
Well, let's finish the show and start talking about Kabaddi.
I know. I tried to get us off it. I think Andy Carroll might feel a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, he can't stay injured. I reckon his club manager just went, please don't. Please don't.
Yeah, right. Did you just say he can't stay injured? Do you think that's his plan? And actually, he keeps getting back to fitness, accidentally.
That's what he wants. He has to stay at home.
You can be pleased with Jermaine Defoe, that's fine. And you could even probably make some sort of argument that that he's going to, you know, he could play for England in the World Cup next year. And that's fine. But he's never scored a goal for England at a tournament.
Right,
and
well,
how
he
old,
has.
How old is he? 30. How has he got? How many has he got for England in the tournament?
He's definitely got one.
Has he? Yeah.
Yeah, against Slovenia in 2010.
Okay, he's got one then.
And it was a vital one. Took us through the next.
Luke's hand went to a computer. He's exciting.
He's right.
Pick up the gun.
He's got one. He scored that when he was about 28.
Yeah.
He's not gonna. He's
one
not
more
gonna.
Than Sergio
he's not gonna fight England to. He's not. Yeah.
I said one more than Sergio Aguero, and I had to clarify in that competition because obviously he scored goals in other, you know.
a worthy contribution. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, it's better than your factual error.
The point is that...
I am hard, guys.
I'm approaching it.
Wow.
All right, go on, Luke. Sorry. Carry on.
You know what? Well, you know the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
He's not going to do anything for England. There's no point picking him.
Yeah.
I was just trying to give some evidence as to why he's not going to do it.
But he's had his chances, hasn't he?
Yeah, but you're right.
Is that fair to say?
Of course you're absolutely. Look, it doesn't... There's best strikers are Kane, of course, he's injured. Rooney's injured, but again, I'm sure people have their opinions there. And Sturridge, who has... It's a bit disappointing in an England shirt thus far.
They're playing a friendly against Germany and they're playing against Lithuania. They've got Vardy in the squad. They've got Rashford in the squad. Right. Pick another midfield player. Pick anyone.
Even Theo Walcott would make more sense.
Give them some experience. Give them a chance to go away with the England team, find out what it's all about, learn new stuff. Defoe's moment has passed. I'm delighted for him, but there's no point to it. Mm. It's absolutely it's also just partly indicative of why England are so shit.
Luke Shaw has been picked up despite playing, I think, one game this season.
He's played 70 minutes of Premier League football.
What a ringing endorsement of Kieran Gibbs.
Yeah, right.
is Ryan Bertrand injured or something? Because
he's in the squad.
Oh, he's in the squad. Yeah. All right.
It's a decision that has no consequences, the Defoe thing. And there's always got to be a story. Every time the new England squad comes out, it's like, oh my God, who's in, who's not in? Doesn't matter. We're still going to be fine getting to the tournament and then underwhelm completely.
Some of us care about this, though.
Livermore was a surprising conclusion. But the thing is, though, when it's another country, say Italy, we're going, get Totti in there.
Yeah, exactly.
He's still got a bit of...
don't care about that.
Di Natale.
Francesco Totti is several magnitudes better than Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, of course.
And he's, you know, clearly there's a reason for that as well. But I'm pleased that Ward-Prowse has been put in there. I think that's a good selection. I mean, the Gibbs thing is it's the biggest dig against Kieran Gibbs since Roy Keane said earlier this season. Something like, he was pundited, he said, if you're ending the game and Kieran Gibbs is your captain, you've got a lot of problems. Which is a massive dig. Yeah. A massive
harsh
dig. Yeah. So, but overall, look, fine. I think Carroll can consider himself quite unlucky because every single pundit that's ever pundit on the game says, it's impossible to say Andy Carroll without saying he offers you something a bit different. They all say that every single time. But Carroll's arguably still young enough to have an impact and make a difference.
Well, if he's fit, he should be in the squad, I think.
Everyone says that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there you go.
And there lies the problem, apart from this time. Manchester City. Are we ready to talk about Manchester City versus Liverpool?
Why not?
The weekend's thigh rubber, you would say. City are out of the Champions League, away in Monaco.
Again, inevitable.
Beaten. Yeah, it's tough, apparently.
Is that the Prince of Monaco? He's wearing a half-and-half scarf? Get out.
Can do what he likes.
He's the Prince of Monaco.
Good that he was there. Desperately disappointing for Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, I mean, the first half performance from City was so limp, wasn't it? And Guardiola himself, and I think Bakary Sanyu after the game as well, said that they just sort of didn't turn up. And they're sort of disappointed in themselves for just not sort of being awake enough to the dangers that Monaco posed. And that's certainly the pattern of the first half, isn't it? They scored fairly early and they looked like they were going to win that all day. It was amazingly sort of tame from City. They're better than that.
Again, it was inevitable. And I think they were just waiting for them to score their goals, get that out of the way, and then Man City can just get on with scoring their goals to have a crack at actually winning it.
The way it worked out, that third goal for Monaco, it just took the stuffing out of Man City. And do you think that's what it is? Going on what you said earlier.
We know everyone's waiting for the thing to happen that they need to happen for Monaco to go through.
Let's get that out of the way,
and then we can play some football, shall we?
They took too long getting it out of the way. They took a whole half. That's what Pep Guardiola was annoyed about.
You don't approach games you play in like.
Yes! Right, even more isolated than Aguero up top.
Pete, do you want to do a team talk? Right, yeah, sit down. They're going to score a few goals. So what I suggest is we let them just do
it.
Get them out of the way. Done. Mm-hmm. Score three. Let them score four. Yeah,
they'll get bored of it.
Yeah. I actually agree with that to a certain extent. At my level of football, they're going to score goals, so just try and score more than them.
Let them score extra ones.
Yeah.
At the start.
Let them in.
They're not using them up. If you let them score, they're not using up their goals.
If you eat a load of chocolate, you don't want to go on and eat more chocolate, right?
Wow.
So let them score the goals early. They'll get bored of scoring the goals, and then you have a crack.
I didn't think my life would turn out like this. But Pete, as Jim rightly says, and I think it deserves further exploration.
I'm being facetious, clearly.
Say that now.
You're about to get out of the bag.
There's not a finite amount of goals available to a team, is there?
No.
Yeah, quite.
Right.
Move on, Mark.
Right.
And I think we should applaud Monaco because they're excellent. They're a really exciting young team. They really are. They're fantastic to watch.
And when Man City got it back to 2-1, then I think people thought, here we go, that they should settle in now, because Man City were much better in that second half. They were good, and they were good value for that goal. But when Monaco, as I say, scored that third, the stuffing was just knocked out of Manchester City, even though they were only a goal away. There was still much to play for. But Guardiola was desperately disappointed. His quote or his chat after the game was quite interesting, because he said his players hadn't taken on board, or isn't in his words, he hadn't convinced them to attack more. Now, perhaps that's just a choice of word, and I'm sure that's what it is. I don't think they're like Pete. They're just sitting there going, well, let's just concede. He's going, no, come on, we should attack.
Yeah.
But it is interesting what he said there.
Well, there's a lot of talk today that there are 18 players who are at risk of getting the chop from Guardiola in the summer. There's quite a few players at City that are out of contract, including some who are on loan. And I don't think they'll probably get rid of as many as... or get rid of as many as 18.
He likes a small squad.
He does like a small squad, so there will definitely be trimmings there. But, I mean, it has been a disappointing first season where City are concerned because of what they would have expected. But, I mean, is the squad good enough to get what he wants out of them?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so right at the moment. But the interesting one for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people, is Sergio Aguero.
Mm.
He looked a little bit out of sorts. He had a couple of good chances, which he didn't take. And with Gabriel Jesus coming along, now obviously he's been injured, but he clearly became Pep Guardiola's main man. Will Aguero be there come the summer, considering he is one of the best goal scorers in the recent years of the top flight in this country?
It's looking like, if I had to sort of, you know, make a guess at it now, I'd say probably, I think Aguero maybe will go in the summer. And part of that, though, is I think because he is consistently injured, isn't he? He will miss a period of any season through injury, and Guardiola's probably looking at that
30.
Thinking,
yeah,
well, quite, thing, yeah, he's still an amazing player, but Guardiola's probably looking at that and thinking, I can get someone better in, and I can get someone more consistently available.
I think it's just a temptation just to, I mean, say, oh, Guardiola's obviously been a failure, and we all focus on his failings because something's happened. I mean, what are we expecting from him? He didn't win the Champions League at Bayern Munich. You know, he hasn't won the Champions League for a wee while now, and he's coming into a very competitive league. He's coming into
with an aging back four as well.
I mean, even if they got through against Monaco, there's a lot of good teams left in that competition.
You wouldn't really fancy them against some of the big boys that are left. But I think
Jim's already been dicked on by Leicester.
he's only been managing in what, 8 or 9 months.
True, but the points we were talking about though was that there may be a clear out, and clearly Guardiola's squad at the moment isn't quite up to.
Not shipping three away goals first leg.
Look at the players that have come in and hit the ground running. Sané is one of them, and Gabriel Jesus is another.
I wouldn't say hit the ground running. Okay. It took a while to get going.
Right, but he has got going relatively quickly. I mean, he's still 19 years old?
He's a young player.
It's very impressive. It's rare that players that... If you look at someone like Batshuayi at Chelsea, I know it's not necessarily fair to directly compare them, but, you know, he costs a lot of money and he's barely getting a kick. And, you know, these young players, Anthony Martial's another one as well, like they come with these huge, huge price tags, so there's this expectation for them to perform straight away, and often they don't because they are like 18 or 19, and of course they're not going to. But Sané has actually done that, which is really impressive.
I know there was a bit of movement at Manchester City last summer, and obviously Pep coming in, and there's a lot of money to be spent. But you would imagine that there could be quite a lot at the moment because you're right, Jim. You look at that squad, and I just wonder if Pep can squeeze what he wants out of them, which is, you know, Premier League winner. Better assault at the Champions League or onslaught at the Champions League. And at the moment, that City squad just doesn't quite convince.
No.
I know they're still up there in the top few places. It's unlikely. Chelsea have been so good this season without European football. But it didn't surprise me that much that Monaco went through. Even when Monaco were 5-3.
No, but I think that's because Monaco are very underrated. Yeah. I think there's two things at play.
But even when they were 5-3 down, I'm saying, with Monaco, it wasn't that surprising that Man City went out.
No, I agree with that as well. You score three goals away from home and you've got a chance. And Monaco are a very good attacking team. They're underrated. I mean, Roy Smith in the Times said that he thought they reminded him of the great Ajax team in the 90s, the way they play and how swashbuckling they are and stuff. And that's high praise indeed from a guy who does know his stuff. So Monaco, I think, from where we're sitting in these shores, are underrated. We saw what they did against Spurs. We've seen what they've done against Man City.
Mm-hmm.
Man City are... probably going to improve on what they did last season in terms of points total in the league. I think they got 66 points last season. They're on 56 now. They're probably going to beat 66. So there's been improvement there. Chelsea have massively improved.
Yeah.
It's a very competitive league. I don't think necessarily the football community as a whole has to have this sort of real post-mortem about what's happened to Man City because they went out in this round of the Champions League.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good teams in there. Monaco, I think, are very underrated. I think they might even surprise in the next round as well, depending on who they get. And there's not really much more to it than that, I don't think.
No, and that's fair. And I think the squads that Guardiola, we've said this before, Barcelona and Bayern, are better than the squad he's got now, which you know, makes the point that come the summer, I think there'll be quite a bit of money spent and quite a lot of names going, and it'll be very, very interesting.
It's just a different challenge for him now.
Of course,
Bayern Munich, the ground isn't level. Bayern Munich dominate German football, and they have done for many a year, and it's not level at Barcelona either. At Man City, you could in the Premier League, you could argue it's not as level compared to the smaller teams, but there's a far greater range of teams, and that's why. But they've got a difficult assignment against Liverpool, because I think I read that Jurgen Klopp has got the best record against Pep Guardiola of any active manager. And we know what Liverpool's record against the good teams is like. And I think Man City have only won one of their last six games against Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Also, what's interesting is City and Liverpool are the two teams who have run the biggest distances in the league.
Right,
put together. So they're clearly two very, very hard-working teams. So I think we're going to get a good clash here. But obviously there's a chance that City are going to have a little bit of a Champions League hangover.
If you expect goals in this one, then £10 with Bet365 and over 4.5 goals returns £45, including stake, at odds of 7-2.
Henderson, Lovren, Firmino and Sturridge doubts for Liverpool. That would be a huge loss.
I've got a feeling that Sturridge may not play for Liverpool again.
Yeah, that could be fair.
And Henderson's a big miss, and he needs to get back.
Right, if Liverpool win, they'd be up to second or third in the league. It's surprising because I think a lot of people thought they might drop off and sort of be fifth, maybe sixth and whatnot, they're still there.
Yeah,
they're still very much.
It's
there.
Very tight between Spurs, City, and Liverpool. It's easy to just sort of forget about that because Chelsea is so far ahead. But there's a nice little ding dong.
Second place is up for grabs. Them. It really is.
Former Liverpool star Mario Balotelli, was interviewed on French TV recently.
He was at the game last night, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
He was asked for his thoughts on various personal things, including the chances of him returning to Italy. To which he replied, "If they call, I'll be there."
All right.
Bearing in mind he's a part of a side going for Ligue 1. You know, so he's ready to jump ship at any moment. And then when asked about Liverpool, he just said, "Don't speak to me about Liverpool,
please."
Nah,
I don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about that.
Oh, man. The only other thing I wanted to say before we move on to the bet of the week is apparently Leroy Sané calls Yaya Touré uncle on the training ground.
Or
a dig.
This can't go unmentioned because we'll get a lot of tweets. Liverpool beat City 4-1 at the Etihad last season.
They
smashed them to bits.
Yeah, but Guardiola... He wasn't in charge, and he'll tighten up that defence, mate, I'll tell you, as he's proved to.
We'll see.
Yeah. Let's go with our Bet of the Week, Luke Moore.
Yeah, our Bet of the Week with Bet365 comes from listener Joel Gleischer. Our man last week, whose name I forget, Sam Cooper, was it? Something like that?
I think that
definitely
might
Sam,
be right.
Yeah.
I've got Sam Cooper in my mind, and I've got Ed Gibson in my mind. It was definitely one of those
I think
two.
It was Cooper.
He sat in the hot seat for a record 3 minutes. And Joel Gleischer says, "After last week's 3-minute wonder, I'd love to have a go myself. Yeah, this week I'm going for Leicester at half-time and full-time, playing West Ham, of course, at 4-1, cementing one of the most successful managerial migrations of the season for the champions." He says, "My day job was a charity fundraiser, so let's raise some money at the weekend too." Oh. So, thanks for that, Joel. £50 on that with Bet365 at 4-1. They'll return £250, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. So look out for that one. Leicester to be winning at half-time or full-time against West Ham at the weekend.
I like what he's done there, because he's done the half-time, full-time, because we like a bit of creativity.
Yeah.
But he knows that'll be...
That was the undoing last week.
That'll pass 3 minutes. He knows he's got at least 45.
Well, last week the bet was half-time, full-time. Man City, Middlesbrough.
No, but it was
draw and win,
yeah,
wasn't it?
So this is... He's saying Leicester to lead at half-time.
I see what you mean. Okay. So he's likely to score in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But Leicester were 2-0 down in the first 3 minutes, you've still got to wait till the half time. Yeah.
That's true, okay.
So he's done very well.
Okay.
So it could be 45 minutes, he could be in the hot seat next week.
And you've sniffed him out.
it's remarkable how many listeners have gone quiet now. Cumulatively, they can only muster one in a row between them, and there's thousands of them.
That's right.
There's only four of us.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, well, they don't all... You know, collectively do it.
But they've all got the opportunity.
Stop defending them.
All right.
They know what they've done.
They're lining up to score.
They could do a wisdom of crowds like poll and all vote on it
if
they wanted, but they don't. Because they don't
get Polly Octopus involved.
Well, let's see what the listeners have got to say when we're looking ahead to the weekend, Luke.
Oh, yeah, we've had some... But do you remember on Monday's show, we talked a bit about... you don't see me Ronnie's in football anymore.
Yeah.
Well, a few people have got in touch suggesting Ronnie Woolwork, who's had, shall we say, a checkered career. Yeah. Literally can't talk about anything he's done.
No.
Because it's probably legally sensitive.
We could read from car records, I'm sure.
Yeah. Brazilian Ronnie, who I've never heard of, but he played for Corinthians.
Just called Ronnie.
I think we've seen him play because he was at Corinthians and up until recently he played for Hertha Berlin and he played there for a number of years. So we might have seen him when we went to go and see him play.
Ronnie, you were drunk, Luke.
Yeah, that's true. We won't remember it. Ronnie Moore, ex Rotherham's Rammy manager of
Did you not? I think you mentioned him.
Did I mention Ronnie Moore?
Well, okay, I can't remember now.
If I didn't, I mentioned him now.
Yeah, well, there we go. Yeah.
And Ronnie Henry, who's currently a defender at Stevenage.
Ronnie Henry, I believe.
Is that? Yeah. But anyway, looking ahead to the weekend, what have I got here? My eyes are terrible. I need to get this computer closer. It's Stuart Montague. I'm looking forward to the Borough lads getting all giddy now. Karanka's gone, playing some mad Keegan style football, 2-3-5 formation, and treating us to a 7-6 thriller.
Sumptuous.
Do you know what I was saying?
Yeah. Speaking of Middlesbrough and managers, is it time Steve McLaren came
back? Could be. Yeah. Could be. Mm-hmm. He's in the running, I think.
Well, he's just left a club, so...
Derby, yeah. Depressing, that, isn't it? It is depressing, it is. I mean, if you're a Middlesbrough fan, you just got rid of Karanka.
Can I just nip in before you do that? Mine is Gary Rowett, of course, is going to be in charge of Derby now. Yeah. Well, he is in charge of Derby, and he was saying that he wants McLaren's son to stay on as a part of the backroom staff.
That's nice.
I don't know if that's a dig or it's nice.
That's depressing as well. I'm trying to think about how you can make that more depressing.
I'll raise your son for you as well, Steve. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say your offspring, Steve.
And presumably, Steve, you live locally, don't you? So speaking of that, by the way, Marcus, Ben Fraser says, Derby v Forest this weekend, the fifth consecutive playing of this fixture where both clubs have different managers.
Whoa,
how about that?
That's disgusting, isn't it?
I'll be honest, I haven't checked it.
Yeah. The first match this year played by Cyborgs. Yeah. Wow.
Some of those things that come in, I think, they're so good. I'm not even checking that. Because it'd be a crime if it's not right.
Yeah.
What else have we got here?
Narrative wins this year.
Ben Traffler says, I've got nothing to look forward to this weekend. Although, following on from your Ronnie chat earlier this week, Northampton Town have a centre-half called Rodney McDonald, who surely must be the only Rodney playing professional football these days.
Mm, there's a challenge.
Ooh, there we are.
Well, Newport Platte Rodney Parade. So that's another Rodney in football, technically. But I can't think of a player. What else have we got here? Oh, Michal Maguire, who's a friend of the Ramble. He's always getting in touch. He says, I'm looking forward to Warrington v Lee in the Super League. I know this isn't the Rugby League Ramble. It's the Kabaddi Ramble. But Mostradamus effect seems to spread beyond just football. Stuart Psycho Pierce has been in the crowd for most of Warrington's games this year, and they've gone from table toppers last season to 4 defeats from 4 so far this campaign.
Stuart Pierce in the crowd.
Yeah, there we go.
You put him in the away end, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. And does Rod Fanny count? In Rodney's.
I don't think he's not going to be called Rodney, is he? He might be. Look it up, Pete.
I will.
Have a quick.
Look it up, Pete. You've got nothing else on.
I know his first name is just Rod. Is Rod it? Dodgy Fanny.
He's
D-O-D-J-I. Dodgy. Rod
this
Dodgy
is
Fanny.
Massive news.
Wow, I'm going to double check this. Hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you carry on.
So you look at his phone and he's just typed that in WhatsApp. Yeah. Is that Wikipedia?
Yeah. Oh, I'd already searched for this earlier. Yeah.
And while you're doing that, Pete, I'll finish off with this one from Peter Daniels, who says, hello, during the Minnesota United match last Monday, Luke mentioned that the Minnesota Vikings game played at the same stadium the year before in freezing temperatures. The temperature was actually -9 at kickoff and -25 with wind chill. A few years prior, the Vikings had to play at the same stadium after their home stadium at the time. Roof collapsed under 11 inches of snow and the Vikings gave out tickets to fans for free. Which I thought was quite interesting.
Goodness,
this is Peter in Minneapolis. He said, he went to the Minnesota United game and he said there were a load of Wenger out banners there. He said, I have no idea why.
Exporting our worst.
But they lost 6-1, so it's probably unrelated. But thanks for that, Peter.
How about that, eh?
Well, not you, Peter Daniels, not you.
Well, you'll thank me for double-checking my sources. It's the same mistake, if it is indeed a mistake, or a user... if somebody's got involved and just changing them to Dodgy Fanny, that it's been repeated right across the internet in different languages. So maybe.
But you could. It's absolutely possible that like 5 years ago, Pete, you actually did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember we did that on the Villa one with Gerard Houllier, and I got I got Yahoo Sport, Eurosport. I think they got.
It was
hauled over the calls.
It was talked about on Sky Sports News, wasn't it?
Mm.
You changed the Wikipedia page of Gerard Houllier to put a team in there that didn't exist and said he managed it as a young manager. And he took the Villa job and then Sky Sports News quoted it.
Mm.
There you go. Everyone just uses Wikipedia.
Yeah. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Let's finish on Rod Dodgy Fanny.
Well, is there any other way to finish?
Marcus Speller, I don't think you know how bad that sounded.
I'm very aware.
Let's get
I
out.
I said that for your benefit.
No, I don't think you do, Marcus. We're going to have a sit down and we're going to explain what that... Yeah, right.
Well, you say we, it's just going to be you. I'm not
it's not we.
Before we go, look out for Joel Gleischer's Bet of the Week. Definitely check it out. Leicester to be winning half-time and full-time. So keep an eye on that.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Peter.
Kabaddi.
And it's goodbye from me.
Yeah. Oh, this computer can...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.